first verse we'll be going to will be Hebrews 13.
Is there a microphone?
Actually, if you just remember all of the manifestations, that's pretty much my teaching. It was really great. Each and every one of them. God had said that He would not leave us alone, not forsake us, and He will always be here. So that's what I wanted to look at. Now, if you went to buy a car, per se, and you had someone there who was well-funded, knew all about the car industry and everything, would you go to that, to those car places or whatever, car sites, and have a little more confidence and assurance? What about buying a home, you know, if, again, someone well-connected and was very knowledgeable, would you feel better about entering into a deal or looking for deals? Okay, what if you got into, found yourself in a back alley somewhere, and it was dark, and there's a lot of and some thugs being around, but with you, you had the biggest, baddest guy on your side, and he had lots of weapons. I mean, would you not be so scared or have a little more confidence? Well, this is what we will see that our God does for us, or that should be yielded in our consciousness, our awareness. We should have that confidence and the lack of fear because of what God has declared. So in Hebrews 13, verse 5, it says, let your conversations or manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he, God, has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Okay, and as you probably know, that in verse 5, the first never, at the end of that, where God says, I will never, that's a double negative. So you could say, God will say, I will never, never leave thee. Nor for safety, it's kind of like a double negative with a conjunction of a negative with that. So it could be done like, I will never, never, never leave thee for safety. I'm going to read this verse in the Amplified version, because even though Amplified tends to get a little wordy at times, I think in this particular version, it's kind of apropos. So the Amplified version of verse 5, let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, thank you, lust, and craving for earthly passions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, nor relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Okay, so God has definitely made it clear his position. But this was cited back in the Old Testament, and we're going to look at that back in Deuteronomy. But on the way, we're going to stop at Psalm 139. So this piece is going to be two parts. We're going to look at this, where this originally was cited, this verse that we read, and then we're going to fast forward into our administration and just how God supersized or made that deal so much more better as to if it's even possible, if he could improve on a deal which what he told the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. But in Psalm 139 verse 7 says, whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell or the grave, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light unto me. So, I mean, a question is begged, if God is everywhere, you know, we can't really get away from him, then that statement that he will never leave us nor forsake us, I don't kind of mean, kind of like, well, is it possible? Will God do that? But we'll see that, we'll see why he says that and how, well, in James, you know, James verse 4, it says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Well, that's kind of a hint of where we're going to go with this. So in Deuteronomy chapter 30, we're going to see this original saying of this phrase, that God will never leave us nor forsake us. Verse 11. Now we're going to jump into this kind of towards the end of... Now this is after Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. This is the children of Israel have been in the wilderness now for 40 years, and they're about to come out. So God is talking with Moses, giving him lots of information, lots of words, and this is something that he was.
Thank you.
And so we're going to jump in the middle of this again, towards the end of that whole exhortation and commandments. And you know, the Mosaic Law and all these things. So a lot of ink given to that. So in verse 11, it says, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, that thou mayest live long and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whether thou goest to possess it. Verse 17. We're going to read the rest of this chapter. But if thy heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them as they did, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whether thou possess it over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. A good deal, like, you know, death, life, yeah. God saying, please, choose life. That thou mayest, verse 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. They were going to chapter 31, verse 1. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel, and he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. It's a pretty bittersweet time to read those records about that. Verse 3, the Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did unto Sion, and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, and for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto the fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Now, aren't those encouraging words? You know, and they've been in the wilderness for 40 years, and did God not take care of them? Did he supply water? Have a rock, which is where you normally get water. How about food? He gave food every single day, except one day, but they had continually been able to eat. Was God showing them, trying to teach them, trying to encourage them that, yeah, I'm here and I'm taking care of you. You remember when Moses, you know, when he was on the mountain, he saw the burning bush was not consumed, and then he's talking with God, and he goes, well, what are the people going to say? You know, who shall I say, you know, is the name of the God that's going to send me to do this? And God said, I am, you know, I am the God. That word is Hayah. And that's the same word used in Genesis 1:2, where it says that the earth became without form and void. Hey, God didn't make it, that, you know, version. But it became that way. And that's the gist of what God is saying. God's saying, I will become the God you need. Did he fight for them? Did he get them out of Egypt, where the only thing they lifted was their cries? They didn't have a whole army of people with spears and guns and bow and arrows. God was a fighting God. Did he provide for them? Did he take care of them? Did he help multiply them? Did he protect them? Now, was he a God that delivered them through the Red Sea, parted the Red Sea? That's why, I know some religions, there's like a tree God, this God, or that God. And it's just one God that is the one true God. And he can become and is whatever we ask him, as long as we're obeying. And we'll see why they were in the wilderness for these 40 years. Go to Numbers chapter 13. God is that God. He's a source of unlimited resources. Unbelievable. We're going to hear in this, where we come into this record, is where they came out of Egypt, and they're going through the wilderness, and they asked God if they could send people to spy out the land, and God, you know, God was going to take them in there, because he told them, the land that floweth with milk and honey, and they go, okay, go in and see, you know, see what the land is. And this is the tail end of the report that these people came back with. Okay, I'm sure you're familiar with these records. We're going to pick it up in verse 30 of Numbers 13. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But then the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Were they stronger than the Egyptians? No. But who delivered them? Where God even said, not even a dog would wag their tongue at them. And they left that, they marched out of Egypt, you know, in rank and file as an army, spoiled them, and they didn't even lift a spear. It's just astronomically amazing. Verse 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land that we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. It was interesting, they were that in their own sight before the other people saw them. But if you read the other records, these people were messing their tunics. They were so, they heard of how God destroyed the Egyptians, and all these neighboring nations were shaking in their boots, or in their sandals. And they, not only were the people two big giants, but the land's going to eat them up. It's like, oh my gosh. Right? Because we know the report that these two guys came back with a staff of, you know, a clump of grass. grace over him. You know, it's like huge. That's God. Did God fulfill his word? Did he, was he a faithful God? Was his words true to be believed? They certainly are. I'm going to continue in chapter 14, 1 through 9 here. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Instead of going into the land, the people stayed in their tents and wept. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness? You know, earlier, remember when they came, the children of Israel came to the Red Sea? And then all of a sudden, the army, Egyptian army, comes behind them, and they said, "Oh, you know, they're crying, you know, murmuring at Moses. Oh, would you bring us out here to kill us?" Now they murmured against Moses and Aaron, but now they're straight up, you know, accusing God of God bringing them out there. Like, oh my gosh! It's like, what did? Not only that, that pillar of smoke and fire, was that the presence of God? I mean, they needed a. It was probably good for them to have even a physical representation of God. But that was there. That was there. Did they not see what God did or how God provided water and food up even up to that point? And then that pillar of smoke and fire there? And they're accusing God of killing. They're going to bring them into the land and kill them? Verse 3. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? Which is a pretty ludicrous thought if you think about it. They would need food and water, which God provided. They would need cross the Red Sea, which God provided. And then when they got back there, do you think Egypt would be happy that they showed up again? Okay. And they said one to another, let us make a captain, let us return unto Egypt. Not only that, they were slaves there. They cried to God for reason of their taskmaster. It's just, sometimes in life, when we're faced with believing or a tough situation that looks insurmountable, and if we don't include God, sometimes, you know, that kind of thinking, sometimes I do it, you know, when you want to get into a comfort zone or I guess it's an unbelief zone or whatever, where you're willing to accept something far less or not good just to avoid the circumstances are there in your face. It's just like, you're not that you're ignorant of them. You just, if you've gotten information and God provides for you, what's going to happen? Sometimes it's easier, I guess not. Sometimes that's our old man nature, you know? It's just, and for these people to logically consider that is just illogical. But instead of standing, you know, and believing God and his word, he's proven himself faithful for, you know, for years and years and years. And mightily, you know, recently in the record, the things he did was phenomenal, were miracles upon miracles. And yet, yeah, I'm going to go back to slavery, thank you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just an indictment on the old man nature that we all have and that we all are endeavoring to put off day by day. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them, searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, and he did, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is what?
With us.
Fear them not. Let's go to verse 20 of this chapter. And the Lord said, I have part, in between them, what we skipped is God gets a little miffed at them for not doing it. And Moses again stood in the gap and asked to pardon them, you know, don't wipe them out, because then people are going to talk saying that you weren't able to bring them into the promised land. And then this is what the Lord says in verse 20. And the Lord said, I have parted according to thy word, but as I truly, as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all these men which have seen my glory and my miracles, plural, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice. Verse 23, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall I, neither shall any of them that provoke me to see it. Okay, we're going to jump down to verse 40. Now, in between what we just read and now, God says, okay, all the people that feared, they're going to die. And they said that their children, their wives would be a prey. They're going to go in and see the promised land. But you guys are going to, where you're going to be in the wilderness for 40 years. So, and this is the people's response in verse 40. And they rose up early in the morning and got them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here. Day late, but we're here. And we'll go up into the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? I guess this would be the 11th transgression. Oh, my goodness. Go up into the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. Verse 41. And Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is what? Among you, that you be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword, because you are turned away from the Lord. Therefore, the Lord will not be with you. So did God fall on his promise? Did he back out of the situation? No, and that's kind of what happens. That's how you... God said he will never leave us nor forsake us, but if we turn from him, as these people did, you know, we're not with God, so axiomatically, God is not with us. You know, I can remember you once, and it has a great, you made an analogy, like God is an umbrella, you know. He says, stay under here, you'll stay dry, you'll be all the blessings, will be here, you know. If we run over there like these guys did, you know, okay, let's, you know, disobey God's word and ask God to rubber stamp what we do. Not too often, you know, God's going to bring it bad, and only be by the grace and mercy that he does. So it's up to us to know what God wants and to go, you know, do the things that God would have us to do. Then we can stay in God's protection. Then God will never leave us nor forsake. But if we walk, you know, turn away from him, you know, like, ooh, was it prayed for free will? Someone said, right? It's a great thing. Allie, right? God gave us free will, and and he loves it. So to turn to him, and that just thrills him. And he could unleash his storehouse of, you know, power and love and you know, resourcefulness. But if we walk away, we, by our free will, say, no, thank you. Right. Then, okay, just like Adam did, you know, like, sorry, you know. So, but God always tries to make the best out of the situation, okay? So, we read that. Now we're going to go into the part of the teaching, and that is going to be how God has, it's even possible to improve that situation, okay? We're going to go being with us and never forsaking us. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. And actually, when they left, when they actually did go across into Jericho, finally, you know, pick up the record back in Deuteronomy, which we're not going to, God makes that same promise to Joshua, right? He said, anywhere your feet go, you know, is your land, I will not leave you nor forsake. What did it for Joshua's heart to do that? And then when they crossed Jordan, that's when God said he took up pillar of fire and smoke at that point. So that was there the whole time. But then the waters, what, got heaped up in Jordan? And can you imagine the people in Jericho? It's like, oh my gosh, here it comes again, you know. Yeah. We heard about the Red Sea. Now it's right here. Here they come. And did God deliver them, right? Round the walls of Jericho. Mm-hmm. But just as he said. So God is faithful, and we just need to burn that into our our consciousness. Okay, we're going to read, you're going to read, start 20.
Which chapter is it?
Matthew chapter 1.
I'm sorry.
Start in 20, yes. Okay. But while he thought on these things, this is talking about Joseph. Landed this record where Joseph was espoused to Mary. Mm-hmm. And he found out that she was pregnant, verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Holy smokes. And it was the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 7 where that prophecy was given. God making good on his people. And how much more intimate? You know, God, you know, this child is going to be God with us, you know. I guess it was nice to have a man of God. You could go to a man of God. I know they had the ephods and other things they did. Sometimes it, you know, you had to go to another country, another town to see the man of God. But how about God with us, huh? What a great comforting and fulfillment of his prophecy. Let's go to John. Gospel John chapter 14. Verse 12 says, we're going to read a few verses. I like to get a little bit of the context. I don't like to just, sometimes it's not good to plop on a verse. I like to get a little bit of the context. So, excuse me. 14 verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, now this is that grown up Emmanuel, you, right? The works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. Even the italics staying around, but we're going to get another Comforter. Now, I remember Wesley did that teaching a few, 2 months ago when you kind of got into this verse, right? Another Comforter. It's not like another person's going to come. It's another Comforter, but different kind. One who's in Paracletos or whatever that is, to call someone alongside of and to comfort and exhort. So there's going to be another Comforter. Oh, and what does it say? Give you another Comforter that may abide with you forever. So this Comforter is going to be with us. Not only have God, we know we have a distinct vantage point right now because we can look back on history. So now we know we have God is there. We have this Jesus, born again, raised now, never to die no more, advocate on our behalf. And then now we have another Comforter that will abide with you forever. Mind big Colossians, right? 127. God in Christ in you. How you know, you can't get away from that. It's God in Christ in you. Get a spaceship, go to the moon. Guess what? It's God in Christ in you. In the submersible. Go down to the Mariana Trench. What is that? The deepest part of the ocean, like 7 miles down. You know, God in Christ in you. Not like, oh, I got to go back. You know, I got to go back to the building or another person or whatever. It's God in Christ in you. Once you have believed. Okay, is that just tremendous? God really supersized the deal on our behalf. Really sweet. In Romans chapter 8. Again, probably all familiar verses to you. But we're looking at it in light of God will not leave us nor forsake us. Romans 8, 26. Oh. That doesn't look right.
Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, singular, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he, God, that searcheth the hearts, knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit. Because, and that should read, that, and he could be translated it, so it's just more accurate if we read it, maybe start on verse 27 again. And he that searcheth the hearts, knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, that it maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. A lot of people have purposes and projects and things they like to do, and they like to hang God's name on it. It would be much better served if we do God's purposes, and we can rightfully hang God's name on it. God knows, not that you even have to do that, but God knows. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, and he is, who can be against us? Right? Let's jump down to 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? A tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And this is, listen to what Paul writes here. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. When we become persuaded and committed on things of God, then we too can make that proclamation. And it's a day-by-day thing. You know, sometimes we, kind of, this is how this teaching was born for me, because of current events and another self-inflicted wound I did to myself, not physically, but in the situation. And then I was staying up at night, so it's just like, this is ridiculous, you know. It's not focusing on not God and his word and the things of God, or his word in the situation. It's just, but then I turned my thoughts to him. I remember that, you know, like Donnie shared last week, you know, we just go. The psalmist, you know, we turn to God, he remembered all his goodness, and things changed, you know, and that's how it is for us in any situation. Just go to him, and nothing can separate us from that love. Let's go to, and if we ever doubt, we know we don't have that pillar of smoke and fire, we don't have the Ark of the Covenant with us, you know. We don't have any of that, but you know what? We do have that Spirit, and we can speak in tongues anytime. And that could be as good or as great as seeing the Red Sea part, or seeing that pillar of smoke and fire. It's like God has promised so much into that, and it's not just a temporal thing. It's a permanent thing, and it has many benefits now and in the future. And we're going to look at that. Even in 1 Thessalonians, we're going to look at that. Chapter 4. So not even death are we separated from God. Not only that, there's, you know, I'll talk about that in a second. Verse 14. Sure, again, a familiar section of scripture to us all. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. But the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with those words. But not even death, we are not separated from him and from God because of the promises and the accomplishments of Jesus Christ. And we know that when this time happens, there are some things that need to happen when God makes war on unrighteousness and cleanses, you know, of all evil and sin. And then we will be with the Lord in the presence of God forever. So again, we will not be separated from him. God will never leave us nor forsake us if we, as it says in James, draw nigh to him, then he will draw nigh to us.